Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Hello, everyone out there. Welcome to another edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Jeff Copper. Today is July the 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the year 2011. I hope tonight finds you guys out there, our listenership, very, very well. Tonight, the topic is machine, mind, and mission. With us in our virtual studio is David Gwork of the ADD Coaching Academy. Before we bring him on, a very important announcement, and I'm actually going to read this because this is exceptionally important. The inclusion of ADHD as a disabling condition in the supplemental Social Security income program under the Social Security is in jeopardy. CHAD, that's Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, needs your help to identify families who have used SSI payments to cover expenses related to their child's ADHD and would be willing to come to Washington to talk to congressional staff about the importance of this program. CHAD will pay their travel expenses and will help to prepare parents for the meetings. If you know any families who have received SSI for their children with ADHD, please share this information with them and ask if they would help save this critical program. Contact information is basically call either email Ruth Hughes, that's R-U-T-H underscore H-U-G-H-E-S at CHADD.org, and I'm going to repeat that, R-U-T-H underscore H-U-G-H-E-S at CHADD.org, or you can call 301-306-7070 extension 133. Again, this is a perishable issue. If you know anybody in this situation, please contact them because it's really kind of a big deal. So without that, moving past that bulletin again tonight, we have David Gwork. This is actually a pre-recorded interview that I did with him some time ago. I think everyone will find this absolutely fascinating. And let's get on with the interview. Okay, with us today is in our virtual studio is our guest, David Gwork of the ADD Coaching Academy. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. Always great to be here. I'll always have a good time when I'm on your show.
You know, David, I'm particularly excited about today's topic. You have an alliteration mental model, whatever you want to call it, machine, mind, and mission. And I know it's a tool that you teach in the ADD Coaching Academy, and I think it's really valuable for coaches. But I wanted to have you on the show today to talk about it for those out there that are struggling with their diagnosis or are struggling to try to find how to move forward and just to kind of talk about this thing because I think it's a great way of putting things in context, not just from thinking about things like exercise and diet and medicine, but also talk about coaching and beliefs and those things. So first of all, could you just spend a minute and just outline machine, mind, and mission?
Yeah, and Jeff, the reason that this model came about was years ago when I myself had a diagnosis, I realized that the way things were being conveyed to patients was in a very medical kind of scientific, esoteric kind of language that nobody really understood. And I felt it was very important to create a model that people could relate to and was memorable using visuals and language that just about anybody, even a young child, could understand. So rather than talking about the prefrontal cortex of the brain and dopamine neurotransmitters, which are all good things to know once you understand it, I came up with the machine, mind, and mission model, the machine being your brain, that engine in your car that allows you to get out of the garage every day and go to a specific destination, and the fuel that empowered that engine or ignited that engine to go were the beliefs in the mind. And that's something that's not talked about nearly enough, because the beliefs in your mind have an impact on the ability of your engine, your brain, to work. It actually creates fuel, good fuel or bad fuel, that allows your brain to work. So if the beliefs of your mind are not in harmony with the machine's brain, then you can't pursue a mission of what it is to be a human being with values and principles and things that are important to who you are as a human being. So the more I dove into this machine mind and mission thing, the more people were attracted to understanding that everybody's machine works differently, and everybody has beliefs that they create. But if you're not paying attention, and, you know, this is Attention Talk Radio, and one of the things that you very much focus on this is if you're not paying attention to what you're paying attention to, and what you're paying attention to is I'm broken, I don't meet the standards, I'm not good enough, because that's generally what happens to a lot of people with ADHD, because they don't meet the limited standards of performance in school or at work, then the beliefs that they create are their failures, when in fact our brain, our human machine, should not be limited to only a few ways of doing things. So it all came about from this machine mind and mission model. It really helped a lot of people.
What I like about it is it's so simple, but it segregates things so you can put in context. So, for example, when you describe the machine and the brain, I actually start to think of the physical brain, the gray matter that's up there, and I start to think about the things that you can do, because the physical brain, the gray matter, has to run efficiently, and I start to think of, like, diet, because that impacts the physical part of the brain. Exercise can impact that part of the brain. You know, medications impact that part of the brain. Not just ADHD meds, but also other medications. So, like, if you're sick and it's impacting your physical brain, it's going to impact your mission because it's not working optimally.
Well, and just things like breathing. That brain that we use, the part of the brain that's implicated in ADHD, uses about 25% more of the glucose in your brain, and you need carbon dioxide and oxygen. Oxygen is so important for the brain. Just learning to take the oxygen in and breathe the CO2 out. The more oxygen you put into your brain, the more effective and the better the performance of your brain is going to be. So learning to meditate, learning to breathe, learning to pause, that if you find that stress is there and you start feeling your heart pump harder, it means you need to pause and pay attention to that heartbeat and slow your breathing down. And it has a huge impact. So meditation, breathing, exercise, the right medications with proper diagnosis, are very, very important to the physical functioning of the brain. You're absolutely right, Jeff.
And if you're and people talk about self-care and going out and taking care of the physical part. So, like, you might read some stuff about diet and fish oils and breathing and meditation and all that stuff. Some of that stuff is just to make sure that your physical brain is working optimally.
That's right.
And a lot of the stuff out there when you're looking for, hey, listen, I want to move forward, how can I help myself? And it's to pay attention to the physical side of the brain, the machine part of it, to make sure that it's in working order.
Absolutely. And exercise, for example, which we know so much about. There's been so many studies, and John Rady's book, Spark, he talks a lot about it. But I know in my own life, and you know, Jeff, and a lot of the people that we coach over the years, exercise is life-saving, but if you're a person with ADHD and boredom and monotony are a difficult thing for you, and you have a belief that you have to exercise in a certain way and do the same things over and over again, your ability to maintain that physical aspect of exercise in your brain isn't going to last very long. So all these things have to be, integrated. We can know about the physical part of the brain and know what we have to do, but then there are all these beliefs and thoughts and perceptions created in the mind that need to be looked at, which very infrequently, they're not looked at nearly enough. People don't pause to pay attention to the subconscious beliefs and thoughts about what they have to do for their machine.
Absolutely.
And it's a real challenge.
It really is. But I want to kind of jump into the mind here in a second, but in segueing out, one of the things that I kind of want to highlight is that the ADHD meds, the stimulants and stuff, they really affect the physical or the machine part of the brain, not as much the mind. And you know, as we're going to talk about in the mind side, you know, the stimulants can reduce the symptoms and help the physical brain, but they don't necessarily teach you how to get organized.
They don't. And you know, there's all kinds of beliefs about medication, which I think are invalid, that medications make you broken and all this stuff. And what I can tell you is that the medications, when there's proper diagnosis, especially the psychostimulants that have been proven over and over again, they are critical in allowing stimulation of the dopamine neurotransmitters, which allow you to function, to pay attention, which allow you to pause so you're not as impulsive, which, you know, for kids who are hyperactive, you know, slow down that excess hyperactive energy. So the medications have been proven over and over again when there is proper diagnosis and two or more trials of the psychostimulants, that in 80% of the cases, the challenges of inattention, impulsivity, and hyperactivity in the physical brain are mitigated or managed. And so it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's not the only thing. And the pill doesn't give you the skill. The pill doesn't teach you the skill. And the pill does not teach you about what you're talking about, Jeff, the ability to pause and pay attention to what you're paying attention to in the form of beliefs.
But the medication can improve performance of the physical part of the brain, which is helpful in obtaining what your mission is.
It can, and it can put you on a level playing field to function, so you can do those other things. Absolutely, Jeff.
Absolutely. Dave, I want to go to a break here, and when we come back, I want to spend a little bit more time talking about what the mind is and what we're talking about in that. But before we go, for those that might want to get in contact with you or learn more, I presume they just go to the ADD Coaching Academy. That's addca.com.
Yep, addca.com, and there's various categories, education, coach training, whatever you need is up there for just about everybody.
Excellent. Well, with that, we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and, of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
I thought I could handle college, but I just got my grades. My first year was a disaster. I barely passed. My folks think I slacked off, but I really tried hard. I just could not keep organized with all my assignments. By the end, I just gave up. Maybe I'm just not cut out for college.
Did you know that students have the highest risk of failure during their first semester of college? That's especially true for students who learn differently. Many bright and motivated students with learning disabilities and ADHD have chosen Landmark College in Vermont in order to develop the learning strategies and confidence they'll need to succeed academically. Princeton Review says, simply put, Landmark College knows how to serve students who learn differently better than any other place on earth. We're now accepting students for our fall semester. Learn more at landmark.edu. That's landmark.edu.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Awareness of how your brain processes information and emotion is the key to self-management and success in today's world. I am an international ADD coach. Contact me, Susan McIntosh, at SusanMcIntosh.com to see and hear how you too can be a success.
News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at AttentionRadio.com. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with David Gwork talking about the machine, mind, and mission model. David, before the break, we talked about the model. We talked a lot about the machine, the physical part of the brain. Now I want to kind of talk a little bit about the mind, thoughtful, mindful brain. Can you, in your words, can you speak to what the mind is to you?
Yeah, well, and we don't know a lot about the mind. It's one of those areas in science that there's not a lot of evidence or proof, but we know that there's this part of us with inside of us that observes the actions that we take, if you will, called our witness, that there's this part of us that has the ability to take thoughts and ideas from a very young age and take those reinforced thoughts and ideas and turn them into principles, ideas, and ways of living our lives. And these ideas that have been handed down to us in some cases or modeled for us are reinforced over and over and over again. And there's this invisible part of us that simply allows it to be sent out to the physical part of the brain. And if we don't allow our mind, there's a part of us called our internal observer, our objective observer or witness, that can actually watch what we create, but we tend not to use it. There's a part of us that actually watches what we're paying attention to and what we act on, but this part of us, you know, very often we'll hear ourselves saying, "I was just saying to myself." Well, I and myself, there's two people there. There's one watching, and there's one that's the recipient of what is being watched. You know, sort of like in Zen Buddhism, they talk about this stuff. But in the reality of our world, we all have the ability to be able to sit in an auditorium, pretend like we're in an auditorium, sitting in a seat and watching our own movie and what kind of movie we're seeing. And we tend not to do that. And the theme to that movie or the theme to that story of that part of us that is watching in the seat in the auditorium are our beliefs. And we have the power to pay attention to those beliefs. We also have the power to change them, and we don't nearly use it enough. And the brain, the machine, is the part of us, the physical part of us, that tells us when those beliefs are in harmony or not in harmony with our ability to move forward. They're giving us signals all the time.
It's funny because when we talk about the mind part, and I like to say the mindful brain, not the physical brain, because it's that intangible thing that you can't really necessarily touch. It's different among us, and scientifically it's hard to see. It is the thoughts, the views, the perception, the stuff that we have, and I know you like to emphasize beliefs because beliefs are individual to all of us.
Yes.
And we formulate those in different ways. As you said, you inherit some beliefs from your family and stuff, but I like to talk to people that a lot of the mind is your belief system and also is a function of what you're paying attention to. And I like to use this exercise. If you're wherever you are right now, you're looking at what's in front of you. If you pause and stop and you turn around, you can look at behind you. And if you study what's behind you, you can pay attention to that. So you can't pay attention to everything all around you all at one time. You have to selectively choose what it is you're thinking about or what you're looking at. Or you have to selectively choose what your beliefs are. And what's obvious really comes down to what you believe. If you believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible might have the obvious answers. That's a belief that you have. But if you choose not to believe it, you choose to read something else, those beliefs are, it's again, the mindful part is the part that really you control in your head.
Yes.
And it's important to know that some things you choose to believe might be factual. Some things you choose to believe are just what you choose to believe.
Yeah, and we make a distinction, I think, in coaching very much that the beliefs can serve you well or they don't serve you well, but beliefs are a concept and an idea. It's when you choose to take action with those beliefs and they are converted into a knowing. See, I can believe I can ride a bicycle and I can see people do it and I can believe I can do it, but until I actually consciously make the choice of that belief to get on that bike physically and ride it, and they may fall down a few times, until I get up and I balance myself on the bike, you know, pedaling the wheels to a specific destination, I'll never know what it's like to ride the bike. So beliefs have the ability to be a platform for manifesting things in our lives, or they can just be beliefs or illusions that hold us back from acting on those things. So it's very, and you made a great point, Jeff. Perception is our reality. Whether it's an illusion or not doesn't matter, but whatever we perceive in our world and we filter based on that perception, those perceptions really control the way we live our lives. And we can challenge those perceptions based on beliefs. We can challenge the story, but the theme to every story is a belief. Now the question is, based on those beliefs, do we choose to take action and move forward to create a better story?
And, you know, I'm going to throw in a personal example here to kind of see if I can illustrate. Then, David, you can tell me what you think.
Sure.
I've said this many times on the radio show before. I'm dyslexic and have a learning disability, and reading is difficult for me. And I had a belief that if you were supposed to do a research paper, and I say belief, sometimes, David, I think you would say, I had a picture of what it would look like to do a research paper. You have this vision of a person sitting in a library, you know, pouring through books, reading some stuff, trying to get, you know, the information that you can, you know, put in your research paper to footnote and all that kind of stuff. And when I was in college, you know, one day it just kind of dawned on me that, you know, you can quote somebody as a footnote. And I went through college doing my research papers as I would find a topic and I would look for subject matter experts and I would go interview them and get the quotes and use those in, as the footnotes of my research paper as opposed to sitting in a library. And the reason I bring it up is, as I had a belief when it started that what it looked like to do a research paper was I had to sit there and pore through books and do that. It's when I changed my belief, I chose that it doesn't have to look like that, that I actually... If you go anywhere, when they're talking about footnotes and stuff, it's there that you can footnote quotes, but I never really paid attention to it because I believe it had to be this way. When I let go of that belief, I was then open to pay attention to a different way of doing it, which was much easier for me. Just go interview somebody and have a conversation, which, by the way, is kind of how this radio show came about. And in doing that, my mind, I shifted what I believed and what I paid attention to, and I found a new solution that helped me accomplish my mission, which was to do the research paper.
I think that's a great example, Jeff, and on a even simpler level, I mean, I know people that have all kinds of beliefs about how they're supposed to read a book, including myself, who have thousands of books that they love, and they don't open up one of them because they have a belief that you have to read the book starting on page one and have to read it consecutively through page 300. And if you reach at any point in that book a part that you don't like, you close the book and you never read it again because you have a belief you're not reading the book in the correct way, as opposed to people with ADHD who now change the belief much in the same way you did and say, well, wait a minute, why can't I open up the book and find the part of the book that's most interesting to me and start there rather than completely closing out my brain to some other great things in there? I can't tell you the number of books in my life, Jeff, that I closed because I opened the book up and it was so boring that I couldn't get past page one, only to find out years later when I looked in the table of contents, man, there's some good stuff in here. And my belief changed to, well, if I have a brain that works on engagement and interest, why wouldn't I go to the place that attracts my attention? So my mission became, I'm going to learn as much of the interesting things in my world as I possibly can, and change the way I gather that information, much in the same way you had notes of, you had beliefs about footnotes. I think it was great that you went out there and interviewed all these people because that plays to your strengths, Jeff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we didn't need to go to a break for a second, but just two things real quick. One is, for those that are interested, if you go back in our archives back in July, we had Nancy Radion talking about her book, The Disorganized Mind. In the first part of the show, we did that. But the second part of the show, we start talking about, okay, Nancy, if you have ADD and you got dyslexia, what does it look like to actually write a book? And if you go back and listen to the second half of the episode, you might get a charge out of what it looked like for her to read a book, because it wasn't sitting at a desk with a typewriter or a laptop banging stuff out. She had yards of sod delivering, going to parks with batteries and all that kind of stuff. So it's many times it's managing your mindful brain is managing your belief and shifting that stuff, which behavioral psychologists and coaching and stuff, a lot of what we're doing is really just trying to work with your mind to kind of have shift what you're paying attention to move forward so that you're not stuck saying, a research paper is I have to do it this way. There's other ways to do it, but you have to adjust the mind. You have to adjust your belief system to look at those.
And your machine is uniquely wired to do it.
Absolutely. So here, we're going to go back. We're going to go to our second break real quick, but when we come back, David, I want to kind of move in and start actually talking about the mission side of things, okay?
Great.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
Be a part of the show. Dial 646-652-4409.
Okay, let's be honest here. How many times have you forgotten the wet laundry in the washer and it started smelling a little funky, so you had to wash it again, maybe even twice, in the same week? Well, you may be an ADDiva just like me. I'm Linda Rogley, and I founded the AD Diva Network for women with ADD-ish tendencies, especially those of us 40 and better. The AD Diva Network is a great place for support, connection, and a touch of whimsy. You can join us at addiva.net. That's addiva.net.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We're with David Work talking about the machine, the mind, and the mission. Dave, so far we've talked about the machine, the physical part of the brain, and having to optimize it. We've talked about the mind and the thoughtful, mindful brain and the belief systems and optimizing that. Let's talk about how those two need to be in harmony in order for you to accomplish your mission.
Yeah. Well, here's my experience, especially with people with ADHD, Jeff. You can get the machine and the mind in harmony with education and understanding how your brain works situationally, and you can learn to pause and pay attention to the beliefs that serve that machine really well. But we have a whole bunch of human beings, not just ADHD, but it's even more intensive in ADHD, that have not clearly identified a mission, a purpose, or a picture of that purpose that they want to pursue. They've been so focused on performance and the ability to do things well that their focus on how their machine works and the beliefs that they can do it in their own unique way and perform well and do it on their own is such a dominant program in their head that when it comes to the point of identifying a purpose of passion, a mission, a message of meaning that will move you forward, they have no picture, and they haven't created one. And the reason they haven't created one is because they've been so focused on doing what they have to do that they haven't identified the values and principles and the character traits that identify who they are first. And so in order to get to the mission, we acknowledge our clients by saying, hey, your brain's working great, and your beliefs are really empowering you to move forward with these tasks and important areas in your life that you have to get done on a daily basis, but who are you and who do you want to be in your life? What do you want your machine and mind to be focusing on that's fulfilling and that's going to get you out of bed every day and motivate you? And in coaching, we spend a great deal of time after we get the machine and mind piece working. Now that you've got these two elements in harmony, let's begin to ask the question, who are you as a human being? When you go to bed at night, what affects your conscience? What values do you have? If connection is important and compassion and creativity are part of who you are and you don't identify those as part of the mission that you're going to pursue, then I like to call ADHD in those times a challenge of integrity, because integrity means that who you are as a human being with values and principles is aligned with what you choose to do. So the machine, which allows us to do a lot of the what, and the mind, which programs that, also has to program a clear picture of, yes, I need to program those beliefs and thoughts that also make a priority of identifying who I am as a human being with a set of specific values and integrate those values into the mission, because if that doesn't happen, the sustainability and the ability of a person to use their machine and mind to really manifest something important in their life is just not going to be sustained. So the mission says that once we help our client identify who they are and what's important, not only will the machine and the beliefs that support that mission, but it's going to last a lot longer and the energy is going to increase. And so sometimes it's a visual picture of a mission, sometimes it's articulation, sometimes it's using that brain wiring to empower that individual to create a mission in the way their brain works best, and giving them the symbols to remember that.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've got about a minute to go, and I just wanted to do a point of clarification here, David, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when you refer to who a person is,
yeah.
You know, when you're at a cocktail party and somebody goes, who's that? They'll go, well, he's a teacher.
Yep.
And you're not talking about the what you do, because a teacher is what a person does.
That's
you're
right.
Talking about who that person is. That's a person over there that's passionate about helping, kids move forward or something like that, because what you do is not who you do, who you
that's
are.
Right. That's right. And there's a difference between being a human being and a human doing. The what is about the doing, and we have such an emphasis on that from a young age. The human being is about the permanent part of character. Performance is about reputation. Who we are as human beings about character. So we're looking for the permanent part of the human being, identifying that and integrating it more of it into that person's life.
Absolutely. Well, hey, David, I'd like to thank you again for coming on the show. This has been a great discussion, and I hope for our listeners out there that this concept of the machine, mind, and mission, just alliteration, kind of gives you a mental model for you to sit down and kind of break things down into parts, take a look at, you know, managing your physical brain, working with your mindful brain in order to accomplish your mission. So, again, David, thanks for coming on and sharing this with us.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Always looking forward to being on this show, and you do a great job.
And, again, if people want to get in contact with you, they go to addca.com, correct?
That's right.
All right. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Jeff.